I know that before Brother Cameron got up to speak this morning, he was teased about preaching for an hour and a half. Well, I promise that I'm not going to preach for an hour and a half tonight, but it may feel like it. Considering where I work, I talk to many different people from all walks of life, primarily around the United States, and one of the things that is rather interesting to me is when I speak to people who are from the North, when I was growing up, I believed that we had a stereotype, that we were uneducated, that some of us were rednecks, and we were looked down upon. But as I speak to those people on a day-to-day basis, that's not the impression that I'm given. In fact, even from those who have never been to the North, we're seen in a different way. We're more down to earth. We have more empathy and more understanding of the people around us. And from those who occasionally come to the South, nothing but good things are said about us. And I started to wonder to myself, what is it about us that makes us so friendly, so hospitable, even to people we've never seen before? And after thinking about it, it finally became clear. It's the fact that so many of us are Christians. We grew up in a biblical environment. We grew up with, in some cases, biblical families, and even if not, then our friends and even our neighbors are biblical. So for this evening, I would like for us to consider some of the teachings from the Bible that many of us have learned from an early age, and then we're going to look at those in such a way where, even though they may seem basic to us now, the impacts in our lives and the lives of others are anything but basic. And the first one I would like to consider is honesty. I'd like to begin with the most important one first, because it's very simple. Honesty is the best policy. However, if you think about things from a worldly perspective, being honest is actually very powerful indeed. As we age and grow up in a sinful world, even as we are children, we are subjected to lies. All the time we hear half-truths and deceit, and lying has so many immediate advantages, it seems, so why not tell a lie every once in a while, occasionally? After all, people lie to avoid trouble. Other people lie to get their way, to get promotions at work, to smooth over difficulties in relationships. And some even lie to get their agenda across or get elected every 4 years. It's so terribly easy to lie, is it not? And as we are young, growing up, and especially as Christians, we have it harder, to be able to resist the lies that are being told around us and to not lie ourselves. However, there are advantages to being honest. After all, the more that we lie, the less value our words have. And at the end of the day, most people have our words as a first impression. And those around us know if we are regularly honest people, we don't have to throw qualifiers in everything that we say. We just say what comes to our minds, and we know that it's to our 100% honesty. It's to our standards to be honest. Not only that, but when other people realize that you're an honest person, they're more likely to take your word for what you believe. So you do not have to worry about proving what you say. However, it's not always true for those who are dishonest. For example, if you begin to tell lies to people, you really are trapped in your own prison that you have designed for yourself. And could you imagine how difficult it would be telling different lies to different people about the same thing? It's a lie of hypocrisy and double standards. And if you can't remember who you told what to, then that's a prison that, unfortunately, there's no easy way out of. But being an honest person is freeing, is it not? You know that by saying untruths, you're tied down to what you say. The opposite is true if you're an honest person. You don't have to worry about remembering what you told to people because you know it's the truth. And you'll readily recollect what you've told to them, and you'll just state it again and again if need be. And not only that, people like honest people. After all, who wants to be around people that you have to truth check all the time? God, being our creator, knew the importance of honesty, and even from the beginning of the Bible, he encouraged it in our lives, and it was emphasized in the Bible itself. I mean, the book of Proverbs itself is full of reasons and anecdotes of honesty. In fact, in the book of Exodus, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Now, all of us who grew up in the church feel like we've had it pounded into our heads ad nauseum, the importance of honesty. However, until you grow up, you may not realize the significance of being told that it's best to be honest. Consider Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve did not realize what lying was, what being deceitful was. As she grew up in the garden, metaphorically growing up, we don't know how old she was, but she was in the Garden of Eden, and all she knew was, of course, the value of hard work, honesty, and being in control of what was around her, until she came across the serpent, Satan. Eve did not realize that Satan was going out of its way to try to trick and to eventually condemn her. We know what happened at the end of the account. Unfortunately, Eve started off right. She told the serpent that we are able to eat of any tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She began truth-checking, but unfortunately she did not carry it all the way through. We, even as we grow up as young children, we do have to learn to truth-check, especially if what you're being told makes you feel uncomfortable or if you feel like someone's trying to lead you astray. The second point that may seem rather basic to us, but also has extreme significance in our lives, is the danger of covetousness. Dave Ramsey stated that people oftentimes buy things they do not need with money they do not have to impress people they do not like. Why do people do this? Well, if you watch TV for any length of time at all, you'd be surrounded by commercials that say, buy this, buy that, buy, buy, buy. Well, there's nothing wrong with advertising what it is that you sell. After all, companies need money to keep their doors open. And if you're suggesting your wares to people, then the more awareness that they have, the more likely they're going to buy your product, right? The problem is, advertisements are manipulative on purpose. Ads make you feel that you need to buy this item. After all, your neighbor has it. You don't want to be the only one in your block that doesn't have this item, correct? It sounds familiar to the first point that we've made when we were discussing lying and dishonesty, doesn't it? The problem is, when you eventually do buy the item that you are pressured to buy, most of the time you feel let down after having it for a bit of time. Why is that? Well, in some cases, it's buyer's remorse. After all, you work long hours working overtime to get that 2015 Camaro, and guess what? Look at the 2016 Camaro. Kind of takes away a lot of the luster that you've worked towards, does it not? But it feels wrong, honestly. Taking advantage of people, especially those with an addictive personality, people that feel like you need to buy these items because it makes you feel good to have them, correct? Considering the work that I do on a daily basis, however, I see some of the disadvantages of living a life always needing to buy the next shiny item that's put in front of you. Yes, you may have a house full of nice things, and you may have the newest cars, but you also, in a lot of cases, have a debt that you have to take care of, loans and mortgages. Isn't it better to have control over your life and your finances, not having to worry about where your next meal is going to come from, rather than having a mansion and all the nicest things that the world has to offer? Yes, we must show restraint, especially with the advertising that's going on all around us. It's fine for us to have material goods, and every once in a while, that commercial from Pizza Hut that shows off the large meat lover's pizza that you must have, and no, that pizza's not going to kill you financially. But please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. We'll be reading verses 1 through 5. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are a deceptive food. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, seize. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. You have to ask yourself before you buy something, am I going to enjoy this a week after I buy this? Will I enjoy it for a month? And please turn with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, 5 through 12. Just a second, please. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such people withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their God and their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and tenderness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession, in the presence of many witnesses. The one time I'd forget to bring my glasses. Think of all the time that you spend over time working on the next shiny object to be brought into your collection. Think of all the time that you've lost, the potential that you have to do great things, not only in the community, but for the Lord. And not only that, but think about the potentially lost time with your family. But more importantly than all that, I would like for us to consider the parable of the rich fool as found in Luke chapter 12. He, of course, after realizing that he had a great abundance in his crops, decided to tear down the barns that he had and build larger ones. After all, look at all these great things that I have. Might as well build bigger ones so, of course, I can more promptly enjoy what it is that I have. Well, the application in this aspect is simple. For many people, they live lush, lavish lifestyles. After all, I had plenty of crops that are before me, So I might as well take advantage of what I have and build bigger, right? Go bigger. However, the living extravagantly may lead you to temptation, as it does for the gentleman in this parable. The idea that I'm just going to build bigger and I'm going to take advantage of what I have leads to his destruction. After all, at the end of the day, he dies with nothing. For those who have lots of wealth, whenever they do die, a lot of times they give their wealth to the kids and the family. How many times have you seen will battles end in heartache and misery? So many times people are greedy and they want everything to themselves. But that's not what the person who acquired the wealth wanted. You try to bring the family closer together and to give them peace of mind and financial security. At the end of the day, they have anything but. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking forward. There's nothing wrong with working hard and accomplishing things and being proud of what you've earned. However, you must always remember that the future is not guaranteed. We should never, ever neglect the present, what we have now. That's all that we do have, and that's all that we can take advantage of. As with being honest, the godly concepts that we have discussed for covetousness versus frugality should have been ingrained in our lives in an early age as well. However, it's up to us to follow them. Some people learn the lessons of frugality later than others. But if you think about the examples that were stated before, both scripturally and secularly, think of all of the pain and misery that we never actually experience compared to those who do. The third example I would like for us to consider tonight is careful choosing of your friends and associations. After all, George Washington said, "Associate with men who are of good quality if you esteem your reputation. It's better for you to be alone than in bad company." At an early age, making friends with your peers is simple. All you have to do is just be nice with people, share with them, and say kind things. However, keeping friends and keeping good friends is the kicker. As you get older and you enter into junior high, then you start to realize that some of your friends may try to push you one way or the other, try to make you choose one friend over another. And that's not a fun that's not a fun place to be. That's not a fun conversation to have with your friends. It's at that time when you realize that it's better to have fewer good friends than it is to have many friends or acquaintances. And that's one thing you learn after you finish school, especially with those who you're still friends with even after you leave school, enter into college, or into the workforce. Then, as you enter into adulthood, then your friends may decide to put My Little Pony stickers on the back of your rear windshield. But it's all in fun, right? The principles that the Bible teaches us when it comes to being a good judge of character and finding good friends and acquaintances are obvious. Consider, for example, Job's friends and even his wife. They mean well. They try to make Job feel better, but unfortunately, the information that they give is not exactly what Job needed to hear, even to the point of saying, "Curse God and die." They weren't trying to have him condemn God and die and suffer an eternal condemnation. They just wanted him to be out of the misery that he was experiencing. What about Judas, for example? Jesus himself chose Judas as one of his own. And from the outside, he looked like an apostle, the same as everyone else. But on the inside, though, he was full of bitterness. We know about these examples because we've heard about them from an early age. So what kinds of things should we look for in friends? Well, Proverbs again tells us what it is that we need to look for. As iron sharpens iron, so does a man's countenance get sharpened by those of a friend. Proverbs 27, verse 27, or 27, verse 17, I'm sorry. So your friends, your real friends, will be your support. They'll be your confidant and even your rival when it comes to doing better and accomplishing what it is that you should accomplish as you grow older. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed, as Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Yes, the wise friends that you have will challenge you to think deeper, to have a better understanding of what it is you're discussing, especially when it comes to matters of the Bible, because we could always use a deeper understanding of Scripture. But those who do not have the same depth of knowledge, those who do not seek the higher things, things that are above, will only consider baser things. And to be honest, you'll never become a better person if you do not develop a better understanding of what it is you're doing and why you do them. So as we have stated prior to this, not every friend that we will have in our lives will show the morals and the characters that we desire. But some of the points that were made will help us to find those who have good character and who will make us better off in the long run. And after all, life for us is hard enough, is it not? So why should we make it harder for ourselves? And it really has to be. It seems this evening that I've only been speaking to the choir, but that's actually not true. After all, for those who are not Christians yet, you too can enjoy all of the privileges and the blessings that we have, even if we may not consider the depth that these blessings provide us. They are quite significant in our lives, and you can share with us in those blessings if you would like. All you have to do is step forward as we stand and sing.